He's an admiral.
And well, I think we should put a pin in it here, because if we can get this much out of just the first KOTOR game, then I think that the next, you know, bit, because there's still a book, right? There's still some extended lore. There's some more information regarding the backstory that you can even get out of Star Wars: The Old Republic, the video game.
That's true.
So KOTOR. Yep. I mean, there's a lot going on in this, and that's the one thing. When I was doing research for this, I was like running into character after character. It was starting to become really like encumbersome and laborious because this is a big story.
I'll tell you, I didn't realize how big of a story that we were tackling when I suggested the idea. Revan as a character,
is
one of the most important characters of the Old Republic.
Yeah, for sure. He really shaped the destiny of a lot of different factors.
He shaped the destiny as a Jedi Master during the Mandalorian Wars.
Mm-hmm.
Then which we haven't even been able to get into yet.
Yeah.
Because Candorous Ordo, one of your companions, is a Mandalorian.
That's correct.
He finds out that you are Revan, the one who killed Mandalore the Ultimate.
Right.
So as a Jedi Master, defeats the Mandalorians in the Mandalorian War.
Mm-hmm.
Then flies off, is lost to all of the Republic. They lose him. They don't know where he goes, right? He finds out while he was fighting Mandalore the Ultimate that Mandalore the Ultimate was convinced by a Sith to attack the Republic.
All right, Seth. I think we should probably stop here, because if we keep going, this continues further down that same path, and it only opens up more cans of worms.
So much. I know. And I really want to get into it, you guys, because this story is amazing. It's so big. There's so much to it, and it's extremely intriguing, especially. I mean, we've talked about the game itself.
Yeah.
You end up fighting on the Starforge. You beat Malak. Mm-hmm. You destroy the Forge, and you also return Bastila back from the dark side to the light, redeem her, and then everybody in your party is awarded by the Republic the Galactic Medal of Freedom, and then you two, Revan and Bastila Shan,
get married. Yeah.
It's a beautiful
That story. Is the end of the game right there. Like, that's
the end
KOTOR
of the game,
one.
Right.
But, and beating, you know, destroying the Starforge, which is like, it's essentially the equivalent of the Death Star. I don't think it has the power of the Death Star. Like, it doesn't blow up planets.
No, what it does is it uses the power of stars to forge battle fleets.
Right.
And that's what it was doing.
But it is a massive space station with a spherical center and sort of these four, like, spoke, I don't know,
conduit blades that run along
the outside of it. And up in the center, there's like a control tower and stuff.
Right.
Yeah. And
it's reminiscent a little bit of Starkiller Base in episode 7.
I mean, it's more like the Death Star than it is Starkiller Base, because Starkiller Base is kind of, I don't know, outrageous.
The only reason it's reminiscent of Starkiller Base, and actually, I believe Starkiller Base, they took inspiration from the Starforge because the Starforge used the power of stars to develop.
Yeah, kind of the way that it like sucks the
same thing Star
sucks
Killer
the star out.
Exactly.
Like, yeah, I guess that's a good point.
So, anyways, yeah, I know this was a long one. I know. Morgan, you're going to trim it down for us a little bit, I'm sure.
He's probably going to hate doing this, but
I apologize.
Thank you, Morgan.
Yeah, we owe you big time. That being said, we will we'll pause it for there, and we'll have our second episode on Darth Revan another time. Rate, subscribe, comment.
Nice.
Gosh, I'm sorry, man.
I was like looking down. I'm like, oh gosh, I can't.
I was watching the time.
It's getting long.
I was watching the time the whole time.
Yeah.
I knew this was going to be a long one too.
Well,
I'm okay
with it being long, but like getting we get pulled into the weeds.
Yeah.
And that's. Getting pulled into the weeds is not my problem. It's the getting pulled into the weeds regarding, like, the story beats that don't really have a major impact in the overall, story.
Well, that's why I tried to speed it up through Manon and stuff like that. But
well, I mean, Taurus probably took like 30 minutes all on its own, which it's funny because it's a lot of the game that you're playing, but really the story amount is... It's another thing where you have this microcosm of a story.
I almost feel like it's... So if you were to take the game itself, I would say it's episode one, and then the rest of the game is episode two and three.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because it really is a giant portion of the game.
Yeah.
Right? I've actually played this again recently. I have it on my iPad. I've played it again recently, and I was on Taurus for like 2 weeks. And then I was on Dantooine, and then Tatooine, and then Kashyyyk for a week.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's a long portion of the game, right? So, yeah, I know it's storytelling-wise, it's like, it's a little bit off, it's a little bit, the timing is off on that, but it's just, it's so hard not to talk about that, you know? Because there's so many different elements to it. It's the gangs. It's the Taurisian exchange guy, Davit Kang, that you're stealing the Ebonhawk from. I mean, there's so much to it.
Well, I think that this is like, it's one of those things where the universe of Star Wars is enormous.
Yeah.
And just the amount of world building done in this game is more than enough for you to tell 100 different stories.
Yeah. Well, and I tried, that's the point. That I was trying to get to Revan specifically.
Yeah, and Revan doesn't show up until you find out who he is right at the end. And that's kind of what I was trying to guide you towards, because really, you know, this is a Revan story, and if we want to talk about Revan and all of his impacts and stuff, and talk about, you know, the Dark Lord before them and how Revan was literally, you know, him and Malak were just brainwashed and all that stuff.
So do you know how that happened?
Well, they confronted him, but the Dark Lord had the ability to, like, suck souls out, right?
The Sith Empire, Emperor.
Sith Emperor, yes. And he wanted to conquer the Republic.
Yeah.
And he's been sustaining himself with souls for, like, hundreds of years.
Do you know why he wanted to conquer the Republic?
No.
The whole reason. Okay. This is in that book that I was telling you about. Okay. And I strongly encourage you, Audible or read it. Okay,
I love you, Seth. I'm super, do super too lazy.
It's super good. Okay, it's super good. He is this child prodigy of the dark side of the Force.
Okay,
and he ends up killing his parents. He kills the Sith Lord that runs this planet that he lives on, and then he goes through a ritual. And he convinces all these other Sith Lords to join him in this ritual, and he uses all of their Force power to suck, like you said, not just the souls, but literally the Force out of everything on that planet.
Mm-hmm.
It's a dead zone on that planet. Well, that's what he wants to do, because that's how he's lived for 1,000 years.
Yeah.
That's what he wants to do on a galactic scale. So he just overpowers Malak and Revan just by thought.
Mm-hmm.
And they just turn to the dark side because of his presence, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, dude, the story. And then they end up in the book. Candorous is helped by Revan to find Mandalore the Ultimate's helmet.
Mm-hmm. Yep, and he becomes Mandalore the Enduring.
Yep, and so with that, he is given the information. Revan's given the information where to go next.
Mm-hmm.
So he and E3 go to this planet. I can't remember the name of the planet, but it's the planet that the Sith Emperor sucked dry.
Mm-hmm.
Goes to this planet. Controls go wonky and they crash land. And while they're on the planet, and it's a it's like a dichotomous story where you're following Revan, but then you're also following this Sith Lord who is essential in the Old Republic game, named Darth Scourge. And almost at the same time, Scourge is headed there with his master, Nyriss, and Revan's headed there with T3. They land. Nyriss and Scourge capture Revan. 4 years later, the main protagonist from KOTOR 2 is sent by Bastila, and Bastila is, you know, the reason that she didn't go with Revan is because she was pregnant. Mm-hmm. They now have a four-year-old called Vayner, and Bastila asks Mitra Surik, who is the protagonist from the second game, otherwise known as the Exile, sends her to go find Revan. Mm. Revan and Mitra have this force bond because Mitra served under Revan, mm-hmm. even while she, like, not just while he was a Sith a Jedi Master, but also when he became a Dark Lord of the Sith.
Okay.
That's why she ended up exiled. So she goes there, saves Revan. During that four-year time, Revan convinces Scourge that the Emperor must die. Mm-hmm. They escape with the help of Scourge and Mitra Surik team up. Revan, all three, they go to release Revan from the prison that he's in, mm-hmm. which is in the base of Darth Nyriss.
Oh my lord!
they free him. They get out. They kill Nyriss on the way out because Revan puts on his old helmet mm-hmm. that he had from back in the day, and it brings back all of his memories, everything that he knew. And when they came flooding back to him, he realized they must confront the Emperor now. Mm-hmm. Well, they do. All four of them, so T3, Scourge, Surik, and Revan, confront him. They do massive damage to him. But Scourge sees that the only person that can kill the Emperor is not Revan, and it's not Mitra. So he stabs Mitra. And then pledges himself to the Emperor again, waiting, kind of biding his time, mm-hmm. right? And then Revan is captured again, given the gift of immortality to live in basically a Bacta tank.
Yeah, for the rest torture of the chamber, basically.
And then Scourge is given immortality by the same ritual that gave the Emperor immortality. Mm-hmm. That's how the book ends.
Because
then it goes into 300 years later, you've got...
I understand, the way that Revan ends up killing the Emperor is the Emperor gets his body destroyed, but he ends mm-hmm. up living as a Force ghost.
Yeah.
And Revan has to bring together the good and bad guys against him, and then he uses a similar ritual to suck all the Force out of all of these good and bad people to make the Emperor into a bodily form again.
Really?
So that he can kill him. But Revan gets knocked unconscious during that whole debacle, okay. right? And the Emperor ends up getting a new body as a completely different person.
Really?
But he still knows everything. And he goes off to go do more stuff.
Yeah.
Right?
Interesting.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, the story is it's immense.
Yeah, so much going on.
You could never cover it in just one episode.
In an hour? No, I looked at a lot of YouTube videos on it, too, and there was like the short ones were 20 minutes. The long ones were in the 9 hours. It's like, oh, really? My gosh.
Oh, my gosh. That's funny. Well, Morgan, I apologize. I know that you like to listen to this stuff and you like to do this stuff for us.
Yeah,
but,
get over it. Quit being a baby and just do your job.
yeah, don't listen to Monty. He's a jerk.
I'll send you a cupcake. Pizza's on me this weekend.
Pizza's on Monty. Hey, Monty, I know you've been busy. I appreciate your...
I mean...
the dedication to doing this.
Yeah. Because
it's a lot of fun.
I do enjoy doing it. Now we're starting. Hello, Morgan.
Oh, my gosh. KOTOR, man.
WOTC. Remind me, what does that stand for?
The Toast?
What? The Toast?
Wizards of the Coast.
Oh, Wizards of the Coast.
Wow, Monty. what is wrong with you?
Well, I'm looking at
Are
it
you
and I'm like,
coffee?
Wizards? No, this is alcohol. it's just Captain Coke, Morgan. Calm down. It's my first drink. I didn't even drink any of it yet.
I drink an energy drink so that I have a little bit of like,
Yeah, so I was holding a coffee cup because that's what was in it was coffee, like 13 minutes ago. And then I was like, you know what? It's my Friday. I'm going to go get something real quick and we'll just have fun today.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not having any alcohol until September.
Yeah? Is it like a health thing or is it a...
Yeah, it's called 75 Hard. I don't know if you'd heard of it.
It sounds like a movie I wouldn't watch.
It's an exercise diet self-improvement program essentially. Okay. Where you basically you do something to improve yourself mentally. Mm-hmm. It says, suggests that you should read a book, like 10 pages of a book. I have been using the time to either read my Bible or spend time learning Japanese. Mm-hmm. Also, like those brain game opportunities.
What? Sudoku? Games are. Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Right. Any kind of brain game. Stuff to keep me sharp,
Like and, one of the, where the little parking lots with, all the cars and you got to move the cars.
Exactly. You're like, how do you... So there's one where it's past the football. And it shows you a brief picture of all of the defenders, and mm-hmm. then it blinks out, and you have to figure out the path for the football to go so that you don't run into the defenders.
Yeah,
that's actually my favorite one because I've just nailed it every single time. So
that's hilarious. Yeah. It's very good for your brain, I guess.
Yeah, your thinking.
So it's like a three-prong approach. It's like
that would be good for my vocabulary because I'm kind of an idiot when it comes to talking.
Yeah. Yeah, that guy knows 12 different languages. Yeah, well, that doesn't make him smart.
No,
it's just more people know how dumb he is.
Yeah.
I forget who says that joke, but that's one of my favorites.
Hang on, I gotta shut my door.
Sure.
My dog. My dog just came in my room, in my game room. Through the door and went straight to his kennel to lay down.
Yeah.
Doing, dude?
It's a nice kennel. I'd go in there and lay down too.
Except it's solid metal.
Yeah.
Not comfortable.
Very comfortable.
Every time I'm in the game room, all of my kids that, when I'm in here and they're all like, oh, I got to be in there with dad because, it's a mystery. And
they always do that to me too. Yeah. You probably notice sometimes I'm pointing at my door silently with wide eyes. I'm like,
I don't even know. I don't know if you saw it last time we recorded because Aiden walked in. Oh no, it was first Gannon walked in, and I was like, mm-hmm.
Yep.
And then Aiden walked in, I was like,
I'm gonna lose my mind.
Lose it, kids.
Well, it's funny too. It's like, why doesn't Dad want us in there? Now we extra want to be in there.
Now I really want to be in there.
I tell you, if I invited them in here, do you think they'd really? They'd be like, Dad, I'm so busy. Stop bothering me.
You have no idea. The weight of the world is on my shoulders today. A girl told me she liked me, and I don't even know what to do with that.
It's more like, maybe later, Dad. I'm trying to finish this Pokemon game that I don't know how to play.
Right. Yeah. Well,
because Monty can't read.
Can't read. Yeah. I know, because Ethan.
Braylon and Avery are already bored of all the games where you can read, so they
right. So they just pass him down to the kid that can't read.
Yeah.
Oh, this is awesome. What is this character? It's like arcane language. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I'm pretty excited about KOTOR because, if you don't remember.
Oh, you know what? I should add the Deep Field background for this.
Oh, yeah,
for
sure. The
sci-fi slideshow because.
Yeah. The Knights of the Old Republic was the first game on Xbox that I played other than Halo. That I played from beginning to end with my eyes glued to the TV,
Well, I mean,
which is a great image. By
there
the way.
Was Think Burnout, which was the first game we had, the only one we had for a few months.
But playing that to the end, it's I guess
like a whole 30 minutes.
Race.
Yeah,
yeah. I remember buying. I actually remember renting it first, and then we bought it. And I was so sold on that game.
Yeah,
that was fun. I don't even remember how we got our first Xbox, to be honest.
Christmas. I remember it. Oh,
was
yeah.
it a Christmas? I must have been with Dad that day.
Well, I was begging for an Xbox
beforehand. I bet what happened was you got the Xbox for the family while me and Jed were in California with Dad. I almost bet that's what happened.
Yeah, sounds right, actually. So
I don't remember that.
So it was, it would have been 2002, I think.
Xbox came out in 2001.
Yeah, so I think it was 2002 because it was in the second year after it came out.
Right.
I know this because Brian had an Xbox, right?
Yep.
And, you know, I would go over to his house, and that's where I played Halo for the first time, was with him.
Right.
And I played through the whole campaign of Halo with Brian, and I was like, oh, man, we got to get a freaking Xbox. And I met him the year we got ours.
Wasn't he the kid that lived with the guy that had all those pigeons?
No. What? No. No. Well, Brian Vasquez lived with his adopted father and, I guess, I don't know, rowdy family is the best way to put it.
If you went from mom's old house up north.
Yeah, you're talking about Eleanor. I know who you're talking about.
Okay. So
Eleanor is the first place he let me come over to his house and play Warcraft 3 on his computer.
I was just going to say, he's the one that gave me Diablo 1 and 2.
Really? Eleanor did?
Yes.
Because he did have. I got it. So he had like 600 homing pigeons.
Yep,
and he had all sorts of different types of pigeons. He had trumpet foot pigeons. He had freaking. And we got to hang out with that guy all the time. And he was the one who gave us the guinea pigs.
Yeah. He was a cool dude.
He was raising guinea pigs in his basement. He was pretty cool.
And he had, Morgan, sorry if you hear my dog, he's pacing around and talking and stuff, so, but anyways, yeah, he was actually a pretty cool dude.
Mm-hmm.
He had his own kids that were, he had one kid that was my age, and I can't remember the kid's name, but I didn't really ever play with him.
Yeah.
His dad was like, yeah, come on in, we'll play some video games, and then he'd just set you down in front of his computer, and then go do his own thing.
Yeah, he would go, like, do chores or something. He would just disappear.
Are you having fun? You know?
Yeah, he was just like
he was probably tending to his 100,000 pigeons.
Yeah, yeah. I also saw, what movie did I see there for the first time? Kung Pao, Tongue of Fury.
No way.
I saw that at his house. With his grandkids for the first time.
Whoa, how does that one even do that? It's like a whole chunk came right out of
his stomach. Yeah. It's like his stomach plug or something.
Doesn't even make sense.
There's no organs. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, what a good movie.
Yeah. Saw that when I was like freaking 9 at a stranger's house. That's a funny thing, too, is Mom and Kevin, they had no idea who this guy was. They're just like, oh, yeah, the pigeon guy.
We talked about him all the time.
Yeah.
I mean, all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And it was weird because his name was Eleanor. That was the weird thing.
Yes. Yeah. And he was kind of a quirky
person. I don't know
what
happened to him. But yeah,
well, I think he passed away.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, that's when the house got sold and everything.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
But
yeah, he was a cool dude. He
totally
really was. But, well, with that out of the way, oh, I got to shrink you a little bit. You're too big. Your fat head is in my way.
I just minimize it, and then it just shows you, and then I put that up by my camera.
That's actually not a bad idea. I'll do that.
That way I don't ever try. Like, I get this thing where I look at myself too much. When I'm on video calls.
And well,
I'm like,
I think that everybody gets that.
Yeah.
Right?
And, but I know people are noticing because everybody does it, right? And I'm like, I know that they think I'm vain or something. And I'm looking at myself. It's not
well, I am, but that's beside the point. Remember, I'm a red dragon.
Right. That's true.
All right. Welcome to Faith, Fantasy, and Fairy Tales, a conversation between two Christian nerds about D&D, sci-fi, and any other nerdy stuff we can think of. I'm Seth.
Hello there. I'm Monty.
Let's get nerdy together.